Let's turn in God's Word to John chapter 11. In John 11, we'll be reading verses 1 through 57. John 11, verses 1 through 57. And beginning in verse 1 of John 11, this is God's Word. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in a day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Now by Jesus spake of his death. But they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee, or God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. And those are God's words. This chapter details what happens right before Christ enters into Jerusalem in the next week. This is right before the week in which he is crucified on the cross for his people's sins. That week begins in chapter 12, the very next chapter. And in this chapter he performs the greatest of miracles, the greatest of works in raising up Lazarus from the dead, which gives the disciples hope in him as well as for themselves. So we in Christ can hope in the resurrection of our own bodies. The first 16 verses describes Lazarus' illness. Jesus is only about 2 miles away, and yet Jesus waits until Lazarus had died to teach them of his own resurrection. To verse 32, then Jesus and the disciples come to a mourning and weeping with Martha and Mary to comfort them. Jesus, the great comforter by his Spirit to us. He comes to us through his word and by the Spirit to comfort us. And what is that comfort when loved ones have died in the Lord? Jesus says, verse 23, they will rise again. How do we know this? Verse 25, Jesus said, to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And remember the compassion of the Lord. In verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, shows how of his human nature. And said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And verse 43 commands Lazarus, who is dead, really dead, to come out. And he who had died came out alive, risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. The rest of the chapter is the effect of this miracle and others had upon the Jews, the Pharisees and the chief priests. We see that even Caiaphas, the high priest, verse 49, verse 51, it describes that he didn't really understand what he was saying. He prophesied from the Lord that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only the nation, but for all the children of God who are scattered abroad. That is for the Jews and for the Gentiles. And that describes for us even more the meaning of the word world in John's Gospel. Those scattered abroad. Jesus is our hope in the resurrection. He will command and He will raise up our dead bodies at the right time and give us new glorified bodies in union with Him, to commune with Him forever and ever. And this is our eternal comfort. This is our hope as Christians. And the question that Jesus asked is, believest thou this? Let's pray. Our Father, we believe. We believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We believe that He will raise up our dead bodies, which should teach us how to live today with these dying bodies that we have. And though You have upheld us much, and we can see that they're surely weak, as even as we look around this evening, many in the congregation are sick, not feeling well, and therefore unable to be here. And yet, Father, You strengthen our bodies still to serve You in this life until the last breath we breathe. That we would die well is our prayer. And we pray that in our death, the church would have hope, that we would have hope and the resurrection of our bodies to come. For You truly are the resurrection and the life. And we believe this. And so, Father, we pray that You'll bless Your people, bless the church, that You would give us a hope that is beyond comprehension, a love for You that is beyond understanding, and a love for Jesus, and a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, as Jesus had here, who was troubled and groaned and wept. Father, help Your people. Give us tears that we need in repentance over our sins, of the sorrow and weeping and grieving over our sins that we need, because Christ died on the cross for those sins, all of them. And yet thankful at the same time that He is our resurrection. He is our hope in the resurrection. Father, we do praise You. We're thankful for the gospel continuing to go forth from this place. We're thankful for how You have worked in our lives up until this point. And we praise you for how you are going to work in the future, because we know that what awaits us, your children, is everything good, everything that is blessing for your people. Now, if there are any here who don't know you, or who are acting as if they know you but don't know you, you would turn their hearts unto you today, that they would be blessed and not cursed, even of our children. Yeah. Father, we pray that you would pour forth your Holy Spirit, just as you did and show forth in the sacrament of water baptism. Pour forth your Holy Spirit in abundance, that many would be saved, that you would begin a revival in our nation, in this day or in the future, quickly, Father. For we desperately need your Holy Spirit poured out and you to do your great works to bring about salvation to Gentiles and Jews. That all nations would come and bow to Christ your Son and covenant with Him. And they will. And we pray that ours would turn from their sins unto you. And our leaders would do so, repenting of their sins, falling before you and worshiping you. Father, we do pray for the church today. Pray for the PCA, our sister denomination, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, many of them. Father, we have come out from them, and yet we still care for them. Know many who are in that denomination. We love them. We care for them. Many churches that are perhaps near and dear to us, even our former pastors who ministered here, pray for them and their families. We recognize that a couple of days ago it was decided by the top, the highest judicial court of that denomination to uphold a presbytery's ruling that a homosexual man can remain a pastor. And what grievous thing that is. Some of those on that highest court in that denomination, godly men. And yet swayed by procedure. They've made procedure king and not Jesus as king. And yet many on that judicial commission also faithfully upheld your word. We praise you for them. But Father, now the PCA is in a hard place. Those faithful men who are still there, faithful members and churches, still there, we know that it's not hard to be in the place they are, and so we pray for their wisdom and discernment in the coming days and months and years. And pray that you would cause repentance to be brought about for that denomination, and reformation and revival, the same as we pray for our own denomination. You can turn those people, you can turn those elders, you can turn those churches to you. And the same you can do with our denomination, where we are failing and have sinned against you and continue to sin against you. For we are not perfect either. And so, Father, we pray that you would bring about a corporate repentance for our denominations. You make us to be faithful unto you and you alone, for Jesus Christ is King, not we ourselves. Even here we saw in reading the Pharisees, the Jews were so concerned about power and their position before the Romans. They didn't want to lose that. And so they denied Jesus. I pray that we would not be prideful in such a way, or power hungry, or seeking after authority like that. But humble us before your throne. Just as we read this evening or this morning in Exodus and the 8th commandment, and considering the 1st to the 4th commandments, we do pray that you would bless our congregation financially. We know that we struggle with that. Help us to be faithful givers and godly stewards of what you have provided for us. And out of the first fruits we would give unto you for your glory, not that you need money, not that you need these things, but that the gospel would continue going forward. We know that you use such resources for that, and we pray that it would continue, that you would bring about missionaries and elders and pastors and the training of them, that we would be able to help other churches who are struggling, that we would be able to afford to plant churches and provide for that. If that's our desire and that's what you desire to extend your kingdom, then you will provide. And so we put our faith in that. We put our faith knowing that all that you grant to us, that you provide us. Make us to be faithful in our giving and not have as our God the world and the things of the world. That you alone would be our God. Keep us in Christ by your Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.